Requested greetings to you this morning. Glad to be together in the house of the Lord and share from His Word. I did not know or plan that this would coordinate with our Sunday school lesson like I feel like it does. You know, the principle and the problem of ages from the New Testament to now still is the question somewhat of how much of the old we obey and how much of the new, or how do we understand the division of the two? Well, I'll tell you, if you believe in the flat Bible where it's all equal from old to new, then it's a confusing gospel. And you'll be frustrated. You cannot live up to the. They could not live up to the Old Testament. And so, how could we? Paul is clear that they could not live up to the Old Testament. So, why did I? I was impressed with how God works things out. And I could have said more in Sunday school, but I felt like I'll wait till. The message. But my message is on the Sabbath day or Sunday. What's the principle, and what do we how do we understand this, and why do we keep Sunday? Why do we keep this first day of the week? There's some in our that I've run into, or especially one man that I especially have had to do with and work. He's a Sabbath day keeper, and he said he will not step inside a church that doesn't keep the Sabbath day. I mean, he's really firm on it. But I like to give a few word definitions here when we mention the Sabbath, we're talking about Saturday, yesterday, Saturday. We're talking about the seventh day. That's the seventh day of the week. The last day of the week is the seventh day. When we talk about the eighth day this morning, we're talking about, okay, today. Yesterday was the seventh day. Today is the eighth day. This is the first day of the week. So when we're talking about the eighth day, we're talking about Sunday. We're talking about the Lord's Day. John in Revelation 1, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. We're talking about Sunday. So the eighth day is the Lord's Day. It's Sunday. The first day of the week. That's all the same. We're all talking about the same. But the Sabbath, Saturday, the seventh day, it is the last day of the week, which is yesterday. So I just want to help us to understand when we use those different terms, what we're talking about. But there was a principle established in the beginning. And you can turn to it in Genesis chapter 2. I want to look at some principles here that God established from the very beginning of time. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, yesterday, Saturday, Sabbath, God ended the work, his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Here's the principle: that God made and created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. And if we think about the principle, God knew that our bodies needed rest. He rested. And it says that he made man in his image. In the image of God created he them. And I believe that includes more than, I believe that includes many phases. He made man a spirit, soul, and body. God is a triune Godhead. And he made man to rest as he rested. He made us in his image. The principle that God established. God's plan was for man to rest as he rested on the seventh day. Our bodies need that. I have been told or heard say that there was countries that anti-God countries that tried to change the pattern. Maybe wanted to go to an 8-day week, but it didn't work. I didn't really check this out or go into it to prove that it actually happened. But I've understood that it has happened. But it didn't work. And so as we think of creation and God's establishment of a 7-day week, man hasn't been able to change that. Somehow God set that in place, and it's still in place. I mean, these 6,000 years, we still have a 7-day week just like God said it. And God planned it, and God put it. So a man that tries to get away from God and tries to say there is no God, well, this was God's structure, and such a person still lives by it. We have a 7-day week, and we keep our calendars by that. It's God's principle. And man has, man works through Sunday today. I mean, they work constantly. I mean, around the clock. But authorities and employers still give their employees off so many days. It's established that we know that the human body needs rest. So even though they don't maybe keep 1 day like Saturday or Sunday, they still take time off. It's that principle. In other words, we're talking about a principle that God established that man needs time off, that man needs rest. That's God's principle. So even though they try to get around it and have tried to get around it, they come back to it. God's way works. Man's way does not work. So as we think about that principle, let's look at some further commandments. Now, Old Testament commandments to keep the Sabbath day. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16. And if you know, think about it, this is before the law. At least chronologically in our Bibles, it's before the law was given. But Exodus 16, here God introduced manna into their daily provision. And verse 16:23, it says this. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, and Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, it shall in it there shall be none. And so God ordained, well, then let's jump down to verse 29. And see, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you it on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So here was God's commandment to the Israelites. And then the giving of the law comes in chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 8 through 11. Now, I don't know how much God had revealed to Moses beforehand, but apparently he had given him clear direction about the Sabbath day, even maybe possibly before he went up to Mount Sinai and received the law. So God was very clear in the Old Testament about keeping the the Sabbath day. The commandment was clear. Chapter 20, Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Then let's jump to Leviticus 23. Exodus, Leviticus chapter 23. And verse 3. Six days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Two more for right now. Exodus 31. Exodus 31, going back to Exodus. Verse 14. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall be surely put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. And we see the seriousness of desecrating the Sabbath day. It had the death sentence. And then chapter 35, we're in Exodus 31. There, go to chapter 35, verse 2. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doth work therein shall be put to death. Now this shows the seriousness of the Old Testament law and the consequences of disobedience to the law, of failing to keep the Sabbath day. God put put the death sentence on desecration of this day. And even one, you know, went out to pick up sticks on Sabbath day, there was punishment for that. Now, we see the eighth day coming in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 11. Where he mentions the eighth day, and so we remember what the eighth day is. It's the first day of the week. It's a Sunday to us. Okay, Leviticus 23:11. Now, he brings in this. He says, "And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it." Interesting. The morrow after the Sabbath. Chapter 23, we are in chapter 23, verse 15. Jump down to verse 15. And he shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that he brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto you, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Okay, so here they were to offer these special offerings on the morrow after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, on the eighth day. He says in the morrow after the Sabbath, it uses that in verse 11. And then he also talks about 7 Sabbaths in verse 15 and the morrow after that. Now, if we think about 7 Sabbaths, that's 49 days, and the morrow after that is 50 days. And where else do we read about 50? We're going to come to that here shortly. Did we read verse 16? Even the morrow after the Sabbath. So we see a type of Christ in this, or we see it. We see a development of a transition, or a foretelling, or a forthcoming prophecy. In other words, did God give these Old Testament directions and these Old Testament commands just for the anyhow? Or did he have something in mind? Did he have a plan? Did he have a purpose in giving us these directives? Were they foretelling something? So let's go now back to Leviticus chapter 8. We are in Leviticus. Let's go back to chapter 8. I might confess that some time ago, maybe several years ago, I shared some of these same thoughts, but this morning I have expanded on it quite a bit, and I felt led to share it again. Leviticus chapter 8 now, we're coming into this thing of God's commands and how that transitions to the new covenant. Leviticus 8, verse 36. Verse 31. And Moses said unto Aaron and to his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and there eat it with the bread that is in the basket of consecrations, as I commanded, saying, or Aaron and his sons shall eat it. And that which remaineth of the flesh and of the bread shall he burn with fire, and he shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in 7 days. So they were to stay in the door of the tabernacle, or in the tabernacle, for 7 days, until the days of your consecration be at end, for 7 days shall he consecrate you. As he hath done this day, so the Lord hath commanded to do, to make an atonement for you. Therefore shall he abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord that ye die not, for so I am commanded. So Aaron and his sons did all things which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Now going on to chapter 9, verse 1. And it came to pass on the eighth day. Now they were to abide in there 7 days. On the eighth day, that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering. All right, there's 3 offerings here. Sin offering, a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord and to the children. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf for and a lamb of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, and a bullock and a ram for a peace offering, that's the third offering, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with fire, for today the Lord will appear unto you. All right, so here they were to give this, have three or four offerings, sin offering, burnt offering, peace offerings, meat offering, and I'm not sure if some of those may have overlap. But he said, for this day the Lord shall appear unto you. This was now the eighth day. Remember, which day that is, that's like today, that's Sunday. That's the day, that's the Lord's day, the eighth day. And verse 6 of the same chapter, and Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. So here was the eighth day, the first day of the week. He says that after their consecration, after the old law, as it were, here is the new covenant. Here is the glory of the Lord shall appear to you. Now let's go to the end of the chapter. Verse 22. And Aaron lifted up his hand and toward the people and blessed them and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offering. So here is a repeat of those offerings that he mentioned the first part of the chapter. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation, came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And how was that glory? And there came fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Now do we see a connection here between the Old Testament, the consecration, the laborious 7 days. And now he says, no, the eighth day, the glory of the Lord is going to appear today. And it did here in the end of the chapter. And the fire came out from God on this eighth day. And we just see the glory of the Lord fulfilled and under the new covenant, the first day. This is glorious to me when I think about this, when I consider this. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 35. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. Ye shall do no servile work therein. This is all speaking, again, the eighth day of offering made by fire unto the Lord. Verse 39, Also in the 15th day of the 7th month, which ye have gathered, when ye have gathered the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And we see that in the introduction to this transition, he identifies both the Old Testament Sabbath and the first day of the week as a Sabbath. In other words, it's an holy day unto the Lord. So we see this connection between the Old and New Testament and in these scriptures. Let's go to John chapter 20, the New Testament now. John chapter 20, verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. And Thomas, who was with them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. After 8 days. So Jesus arose on the first day of the week. And now, again, the first day, after 8 days, they were together. What does that tell us? What was happening here? In Leviticus, we noticed in chapter 9, verse 6, again how he said, the glory of the Lord is going to appear. Here we see the glory of the Lord. I mean, Thomas couldn't believe. He had to see until he believed. The glory, it was too much for him. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 25. I think this is a follow-up on actually Leviticus chapter 8 and 9. But in Ezekiel refers back to this scripture in the Old Testament, in Leviticus. Ezekiel chapter 43, the end of the chapter, verse 25 through 27. 7 days shalt thou prepare every day a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bullock and a ram out of the flock without blemish. 7 days shall they purge the altar and purify it. In other words, remember the 7 days of consecration of the priests there, and they shall consecrate themselves. And when these days are expired, it shall be that upon the eighth day, or on the first day of the week, and so forward, the priests shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, saith the Lord God. So it was on the eighth day that the glory of the Lord appeared. It was on the eighth day that Jesus rose. The glory of the Lord shall appear unto you, he says there in Leviticus 29, verse 4 and 6. And fire came down, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto the people. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 28 and make this connection. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the first day of the week. Remember that. It is the eighth day. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord ascended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. Come see, as he said, risen as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples. Tell them that he's risen from the dead. The glory of the Lord appeared on this day. There was an angel that came down. His countenance was like lightning. There was a great earthquake. And Mark chapter 16, it says, Sabbath was passed, and they came, and these women came the first day of the week, the Sabbath being passed. The glory of the Lord, I don't think we can comprehend. Chapter 27 of Matthew here says that, indicates that it tells us, it was either at his resurrection or at his death. But the way it's said there is a little bit hard to discern. But if it was at his resurrection, there was not only Jesus that rose, but there was Old Testament prophets and saints that arose. Can you imagine your son or your daughter come running home and say, I saw Abraham. I saw Moses, I saw Samuel the prophet. And they say, you're crazy. You did not, they're dead long time. I did. In other words, God manifested himself in such a glorious and powerful way at the resurrection of Jesus that it was unmistakable. Something dramatic had happened. There was a great earthquake, and all these saints arose. I'm just excited about the resurrection and about the Old Testament foretelling these things. And in Matthew 5, verse 17, we talked about this in Sunday school. He said, Jesus said, I think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. These, in our Sunday school lesson, James went back to the Old Testament and pulled out of Amos scripture that foretold those days. Peter did the same thing in Acts chapter 2. He foretold, Joel foretold these days. And he goes on in Acts there and he says, following chapters and maybe in chapter 2 even, he says that Moses and Samuel and all the prophets spoke of these days. They spoke of these days. And it's just impressive to me how these apostles grabbed these Old Testament scriptures and pulled them out. And Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And as I think of the Levitical law there, where they were to consecrate themselves 7 days, the Old Testament was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to consecrate themselves 7 days, and then there was the glory of the Lord appeared on the eighth day, and it was foretold, and it happened, and it happened. It happened under the new covenant. Jesus rose on this day. Jesus strengthened basically all the Old Testament Ten Commandments. We talked about that this morning about the Ten Commandments in Sunday school, and this is my thought on it. He strengthened those laws except the Sabbath day. He did not strengthen that. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day because that's where the people were. If he would have gone on the first day of the week, they wouldn't have been there. The Apostle Paul went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day because that's where the people were. But nowhere does Jesus strengthen the Sabbath or the apostles. Nowhere that I can find or know of. Rather, the opposite. To me, it's a desecration to go back and try to keep the Sabbath, because that's the old law. We're under the new law. We're in the eighth day where the glory of the Lord appeared. And that's what we should highlight, not the old law, but the law in Christ Jesus. And it was foretold. I mean, it was in type given in the Old Testament, as we see in Leviticus 8. Now let's see what Sabbath was given for in the Old Testament. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus gives he healed on the Sabbath day. And Luke 13, verse 13, he healed on the Sabbath, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler said, 6 days you can do this, but not on the Sabbath day. Let's go back to Mark chapter 2. Jesus clarifies what the Sabbath day was for. It was to do good and to bless others and to worship. But Mark 2, verse 27, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So God had designed the Sabbath for man's good. And we had noticed that in the principles in the beginning. God had designed Sabbath because man needed it. That we were made in the image of God, and God designed it that way, that it is for our good. It was made for man. So our salvation, coming back to the resurrection, now being on the eighth day, on the first day of the week, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul, in this chapter, highlights the resurrection. He said, if there were no resurrection, we would be of all men most miserable. We would have nothing to live for, nothing to hope for. We would be miserable. That's just the way I understand the apostles' message there. Our salvation depends on this resurrection. It is everything. If we look at Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18, there he says that I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the one that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. I'm alive forevermore. You know, the resurrection distressed many people in Jesus' day, or in the New Testament church. In Acts chapter 4, verse 2, it says that it grieved the elders, or it grieved the people, because they preached the resurrection from the dead. I mean, it grieved them, those that resisted it. Chapter 4, verse 33, it says, with great power the apostles gave witness of the resurrection. Great power. The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord appeared. Chapter 17, verse 18, they said, they accused him of being a babbler because he talked of the resurrection. Chapter 17, verse 32, some mocked because he spoke of the resurrection. Chapter 23, verse 6, the Pharisees and Sadducees began a fight because of the resurrection. Romans 1, verse 4, it says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And as we think about looking forward to communion and baptism, the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus. Why do we worship on the Sabbath? It's the eighth day. Why do we worship on Sunday? It's the resurrection. It's the power of God. It is what he began to reveal in the Old Testament in types, and now is fulfilled in the new. The power, great power, by the resurrection from the dead. So what is the resurrection to you? It is everything. It is life. It is all. Our salvation depends on. And we say, well, what about his death? Well, every phase of Jesus' life and his work is important. And we know he couldn't have risen unless he had first died. And so, but that is not necessarily our subject this morning, but we're not belittling that at all. We're just, that's not our subject. Luke 9, verse 28, there was the transfiguration, and it says, and after eight days, maybe this is a weak point, you think, but I don't know if that was the eighth day, the first day of the week, I'm not quite sure, but it says after 8 days, and anyway, they went up to this mountain, and the glory of the Messiah was revealed, and I just felt like it somewhat fits in here. The glory of God was seen. The glory of Jesus was seen after 8 days. Anyway, maybe, like I said, that's a weak point. All right, after Christ's resurrection. Now let's go back to Leviticus 23 again. If you bear with me for turning to so many scriptures. But Leviticus 23 again, after his resurrection. Leviticus 23, verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then shall ye bring sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall
wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. Again, the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it, and he shall offer it that day when he wave the sheaf of the when he wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 steel. And let me see. Come on down to verse 15 and 16. We read these verses before. And he shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that he brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a meat offering unto the Lord. All right, so here we have the 50 days after the resurrection was Pentecost. Remember, I said we will come back to this. 50 days after Jesus' resurrection was Pentecost. The Spirit was given, the church was born. Why not on Saturday? Why not on the Sabbath day? Why not on the Old Testament seventh day? Jesus came, or the Holy Spirit was poured out on the first day of the week, on the Lord's Day, first day of the week. We talk about the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. The type in the Old Testament, the fire came down from God out of heaven. And what happened at Pentecost? The cloven tongues and the dramatic, dramatic, unquestionable power of God that was seen there in Acts chapter 2, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus arose. That was dramatic. The Pentecost was a type given in the Old Testament. The church was born. The Holy Spirit was given. Now let's go. I said that nowhere does Jesus or the apostles strengthen the Sabbath day. Let's see what the New Testament church did, however. In John chapter 20, verse 19. Instead of the Sabbath day, yes, like you said in Sunday school, Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, but that was because the people were there. But what did the New Testament church do then, or the New Testament believers? John chapter 20, verse 19, and the same day at evening being the first day of the week. All right, the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus instead of the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. So again, here we see that after the resurrection, they gathered on the first day of the week. Then this was before Pentecost. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Now after Pentecost in the New Testament church, 20, verse 17. No, that 20 verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech unto midnight. So here the church gathered together on the first day of the week, and they were going to have communion to break bread. Chapter 16, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, the New Testament church. See when they gathered. 16, verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you by him lay by him in store, as God hath prepared, prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So it is an order. It is a worshipful part of worship to give, to gather up and take up an offering upon the first day of the week. He says, you should do this when they were gathered together. or that's the idea. The Revelation 1, verse 10, it's getting running out of time here. Revelation 1, verse 10, the Apostle John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. on the Lord's day. First day of the week, the eighth day. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and the Lord revealed and gave him a revelation. So we have these examples. We don't have a thus saith the Lord that you have to gather on the first day of the week. But we see the Old Testament pointing to the New Testament, and we see what the saints did in the New Testament, and we see how the New Testament church gathered. So why do people want to keep the Old Testament? Don't they understand the resurrection, the life and the power of God, and the life and power of the resurrection of Jesus, the covenant change to promote and to preserve the Sabbath? We are not fulfilling, or it is to promote and preserve the Sabbath. We are not fulfilling the types of the Old Testament in Leviticus 23 and Ezekiel 43. Nor are we copying the New Testament church. Nor are we honoring the Lord in the resurrection by trying to promote the Old Testament Sabbath day. That's the way I feel about it. We're not honoring God by the power and the glory and the beauty of the resurrection and of our salvation. That's the old. We're in the new. We're under the new covenant. And if we don't understand that, it makes it confusing and becomes, it becomes confusing indeed. Another possible type that I thought of, and maybe you think this is a weak one too, but the covenant of circumcision. In Acts 7:8, it was given to Abraham, and he was given to do it on the eighth day. Jesus was taken into the temple for circumcision on Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And John the Baptist in John 1, verse 59. And Paul says that in Philippians 3, 5, that he was circumcised on the eighth day. The type of cutting off the old and the new coming in. Circumcision is a type of the heart change and the new birth. We don't need to judge those who are Sabbath day keepers. We don't need to stand in judgment, but let's look what Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 says. Colossians 2, verse 16. It says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day, if they want to keep the Sabbath or the new moon or of the Sabbaths or the Sabbath days." Verse 17, "which are a shadow of things to come." Then what? "But the body is of Christ." It's all about Christ. Those things were a shadow of things to come. But it's pointing forward to Christ. It's pointing forward to Christ. Why would we want to keep the shadow and not highlight Jesus Christ? The power of the resurrection makes us stand back and look at in awe and amazement. Why keep the Sabbath when it typifies the old? Let's keep the new, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How should we keep this day? How should we keep this day? In a God-honoring way. Not in manual labor, not in pleasure-seeking. How about travel? How do we decide that? We need each other's help. Talking about coming together and discussing things. We need each other's help, I think. I think this is a good example of a Jerusalem conference, of a Grand Valley conference, of discussing what is acceptable on the Lord's Day. giving us some guidelines or thoughts and how to keep this day honorable to God and that glorifies him in a God-honoring way. Not purchasing unnecessarily, doing unnecessary purchases. Maybe we be followers of Jesus in every way and glorify this day because it's the resurrection, memorial resurrection day that Jesus rose. Just a few thoughts. And what is a tip to identify a false doctrine? And we know that there is doctrines today that highlight the Sabbath day. And you can pick up almost any literature. At least this has been my experience. You pick up their little flyers, their literature, and they always mention the Sabbath day. It's in there all the time. It's like if you keep the Sabbath day, it doesn't matter what else you do, you're all right. Now, it's the apex of their religion. And you can pick that out in other religions as well. When a religion, highlights one particular thing, like speaking in tongues, for example. If you've spoken in tongues, it doesn't hardly matter how you live. If you've spoken in tongues, you're saved. When there's any religion that does that, you can pretty much identify it as a false religion because it is not of God to highlight one thing like that and then everything else seems to be okay. It's not the way it works. Our faith affects all of our life. And it needs to be in a balanced way. May God help us.